Well, gentlemen, as long as Henry or Elizabeth was in power, relations were good. But then, Elizabeth I is going to die. She's going to die without an heir. She's not going to have a child. So when Elizabeth dies, her relative, this bad gangster, James I, if you look in that PowerPoint slide, you don't want to see that guy coming down the street. I would be afraid. I would step aside. Step down, son. This bad gangster's name is James I, and he was king of Scotland at the time. Now, we know Great Britain is made up of, like, Scotland and Wales and Ireland and all this sort of stuff, correct? So when Elizabeth dies, she doesn't have an heir, no one to pass the throne to. So it goes to her relative, James I, king of Scotland. And what we're going to see is James and Parliament are going to have a bit of a frosty relationship. They're going to have a negative relationship. You see, James really didn't want to consult Parliament. That was fine that it worked for Henry and it worked for Elizabeth. James wanted to be an absolute monarch, meaning he wanted absolute or total power. Think of that absolutism, absolute total power. James is going to feel that he has absolute power. Did not feel he needed to talk to, did not need to consult, did not need to work with Parliament. And when he did consult with Parliament, do you think Parliament was willing to work with him?
No.
No. Was James respecting Parliament? No. So there's going to be conflict. There's going to be problems, yes.
How is he related to the queen?
He's a relative, probably a cousin, I think. I think it is. Yes, sir. Capilla, your question? No. So here's the deal. Henry and Elizabeth had most power, correct? But they at least went through the measures. And at least respected Parliament. Talked to them, right? Consulted with them. Treated them like individuals. James comes in, and in his best Scottish accent says, "You're full of crap, son. I don't need to work with you. I'm the king. I've got absolute power." I don't know if that's Irish or if that's Scottish, but you know what it is? You're going to remember that, I think, because McMichael's going crazy again. But here's the deal. James is not going to respect Parliament. He's going to think he has absolute power. At times, he will totally dismiss or dissolve Parliament, basically say, "You're fired. I'm done with you." And we'll try to do whatever he wants. And we'll try to do whatever he wants. And what we're going to see is that Parliament's not going to think it's right. Eventually, James will die, and his son, Charles I, will take power. Well, Charles was just like his dad, James. Didn't really respect Parliament. Didn't feel the need to consult with Parliament. But you see, there was this pesky little thing called the English Bill of Rights. Remember I told you that whenever Henry or Elizabeth wanted to levy taxes, they had to get Parliament's consent? Well, that was really the only power that Parliament really had over the kings. Well, one day, Charles goes, "God, I have to go work with Parliament. We need more money." And Charles comes up and he says, "Hey, Parliament, I need more money. I need you to levy taxes. Parliament looks at him and goes, so you need us now. You disregard us for the most part. Your father did a fantastic job of disregarding us. But now you need something from us. Charles is like, yes, I need you. You're so important. But yes, I need you to pass this taxes. And they said, fine. Parliament sees this as an opportunity. Maybe we can gain back some of our power. We'll give you this taxes. We'll give you the money you need if you sign this document. What Parliament is going to try to do is they're going to try to limit the power of the king by saying, we will pass your taxes if you sign this, what we're going to call petition of right. The petition of right sought to limit the king's total power. The petition of right sought to limit the king's total power. Well, what did it do? It prohibited the king from raising taxes without Parliament's consent. So really trying to reinforce the Parliament's power. It prevented the king saying, King, you are not allowed to do any of this. You're not allowed to pass any taxes without our consent. What they're trying to do, gentlemen, is they're going to try to prevent the king from just holding absolute power. They want their seat restored at the table. Parliament liked the working relationship it had with Henry and Elizabeth. James and Charles are going to ruin that. Charles will sign the petition of right. But what we are going to see is that there's going to be what's going to be called the Long Parliament, this big clash between the king and the parliament. Basically, it's a struggle for power. Like last night, there was a struggle between the Lions and the Patriots, and somehow the Lions won. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Well, there's going to be a struggle for power between Charles and Parliament. Parliament began going after some of Charles's advisors, throwing them in jail, trying them for crimes against the Parliament. And then Charles would get mad, and then he'd try to go after Parliament. And what we're going to see happen, and what we're going to see develop in England, is a power struggle. A power struggle between those who support Parliament and those who support the king, and it's going to lead to revolution. Okay? So, big idea. How did James and Charles impact? Here's what I want you to answer real quick in your notes. Ready? How did James and Charles impact the relationship between the English monarchy and Parliament? How did James and Charles impact the relationship between the English monarchy and Parliament? And I'll give you a minute to write that down.